I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Free original content from WMAL.com. This is the Washington Mornings on the Mall podcast.
I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Brian Wilson.
Well, we want to talk 2016 politics, and joining us on the line right now is Robert Costa with the Washington Post. Okay, so this is a big week in this effort toward finding unity in the Republican Party. I mean, the Donald is coming to town on Thursday, one hears, and there's going to be a meeting with the Speaker of the House and the Chairman of the Republican Party and the Majority Leader of the Senate and the Republican Conference. And at the end of the day, everybody's going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, aren't they? Right, Robert?
I'm not sure they're going to sing Kumbaya, but they're going to try to find some kind of consensus on policy. Can this party come together on the broad strokes? They may not agree on immigration and trade, especially the leadership in the party and Trump, but they want to see, can they get through this general election together without too much fighting?
Well, and there's real concern about this because, I mean, there are people in this town who are holding their nose about this presumptive nominee.
Especially on the right. I mean, we're looking at the conservative movement, and we're seeing a lot of people saying, no thanks. They'll sit out this election. They just can't support Trump because he doesn't have the policy positions. He doesn't have the instincts on conservatism that they think the Republican nominee should have.
So we heard Paul Ryan yesterday say, by the way, that if Donald Trump asks him to, he'll step down as the chairman of the convention in Cleveland. And all eyes are sort of on this big meeting on Thursday. We're told now that Ben Carson has asked to have a pre-meeting with Speaker Ryan. You broke that, Robert Costa. So tell me, what are you hearing will be the agenda in this, what looks like a very important meeting between the Speaker and the presumptive nominee?
Well, such an intriguing bit of news last night that Ben Carson requested this pre-meeting with Ryan. It's kind of right out of the art of the deal. Trump's famous for pre-negotiating, for sending emissaries to kind of set the terms for the meeting. And this time, Ben Carson's doing that, not one of his real estate employees. I think what we're trying to see at a Thursday meeting is, does Ryan really want to step away from the convention? Ryan always thought his role as the convention chairman was a figurehead one, and now he has an opportunity to maybe step away. But Trump people tell me that Trump may not necessarily want Ryan to step away. You know, the old line from The Godfather, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Yeah, well, there is that. Well, I mean, why is this Ben Carson thing so interesting? I mean, as I read your reporting just yesterday, there were a lot of people from the Trump campaign who were at RNC headquarters having meetings yesterday.
Oh, there were. And the RNC had its first big meeting sit-down with Trump's high command yesterday. The top advisors spent about 4 hours at the Republican National Committee trying to intertwine the Trump campaign with the GOP, especially in organization and finance. And the Carson thing is only interesting because it gives us a glimpse into how Trump works behind the scenes, how he's not a traditional negotiator, he's not a traditional politician.
The other news that we learned last night was that Chris Christie has been named to head up the transition team. That kind of unorthodox, but geez, how many times have we used the word unorthodox when we talked about the Trump campaign? But it is unorthodox to choose someone for the transition team before the convention, let alone before the general election. What do you make of this move?
It's somewhat natural to begin transition before the convention. We saw Romney do this with Mike Leavitt, the former Utah governor in 12, because transition is such an arduous bureaucratic project. You really got to think about how you set up a government. And Christie, Trump thinks he has someone who's an insider who has connections throughout the party, could help fill the slots if Trump actually got elected president. And it's kind of a side role. It keeps Christie close to Trump but not have to be part of the day-to-day politics.
Does this exclude him from being considered for the ticket?
Not necessarily. I don't think Christie's at the top of the list, but he certainly has a rapport with Trump. He's developed a trust with Trump based on people I've spoken to. And that means Christie's probably in the mix, but it's not going to likely be Christie, at least for the moment.
Well, and speaking of which, there have been a number of people who've sort of let it be known, don't come calling because I will say no. Marco Rubio, Joni Ernst, I mean, the Nikki Haley. I mean, a lot of people have said, I do not want to be considered for the role of running mate with Donald Trump.
They have, and we saw in 1972 it was tough for George McGovern to pick a vice presidential candidate, and Trump may have a similar situation because he doesn't have the relationships in the party, and he has Jeff Sessions, he has Chris Christie and a few others, but there's not a rush to be on this ticket, especially since some Republicans see electoral disaster on the horizon. But most important to Trump, from what I hear, is having a relationship, having some kind of confidence or rapport with whoever's going to be his running mate, because the way Trump operates is very personality driven, and he needs to have someone who can fit in that world.
Let's take up this question of electoral disaster, because I know that is conventional wisdom in this town, and a lot of people who don't want to be associated with the Trump campaign have less to do with his ideology or his behavior as a candidate. They just don't want to be associated with what they think is a sure loser. Quinnipiac polls just out today, swing states, Florida, Clinton 43, Trump 42, Ohio, Trump 43, Clinton 39, Pennsylvania, Clinton 43, Trump 42, all basically deadlocked in those three states. Are you surprised to see that movement this quickly in the campaign?
I'm not surprised in the sense that I've been covering Trump for 18 months, and I've been struck at every event that there's something happening in this country in terms of the rising populism and the new engagement of longtime disengaged voters. And I think what we're seeing with Trump is this new coalition that's hard to gauge with polls, and we're starting to see a little bit with Quinnipiac. But there's a swath of this country that isn't for Clinton, that isn't really for the Republican Party, but is generally supportive of an outsider, an agitator to kind of come in and upheave the whole system.
I'm interested to know what you think about the possibility of a third-party run at this point. I mean, given the fact that you have both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton with very high personal negatives. In other words, some people intensely dislike both of those candidates. When you have numbers that are that high, does that suggest there is an opportunity for a third-party candidate who might be looked at as who hasn't been beaten up in the primary process, who doesn't have high negatives?
There's definitely an opening, and I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out where the conversations happening between politicians and political figures about maybe getting in this race. And but the thing that keeps coming up, and they run into a wall, all these people who want a third-party candidate, is that logistically and financially it's very difficult to start getting on the ballots in all 50 states. The way it's all set up means you have to have a lot of money and an organization, and no one seems to be moving in that direction. But certainly, you could see something pop up in the summer just to stop Trump, if that really becomes a concern on the right.
There was, on the right or within the establishment, which are not necessarily
right.
The same thing. Listen, Ross Perot was the only person who was able to marshal those kind of funds because he was personally a billionaire. Romney's the only one who comes to mind. There was discussion about this. Bill Kristol, a meeting with him last week. We've only got 30 seconds, but what do you hear from Team Romney? I know you covered them pretty closely 4 years ago.
Team Romney took the meeting with Kristol. Romney met with Kristol, and he listened patiently. But Romney, people tell me he was more about trying to see how he could help someone else, not necessarily run himself.
Interesting. All right, Robert Costa, always great stuff.
Thanks,
from the
Robert.
Washington
Excellent
Post.
Stuff,
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Washington Mornings on the Mall podcast from 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Listen for the latest weekday mornings 5 to 9 and download more free original content daily from WMAL.com.